The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I feel like we're going to do things a little reverse this morning, and we're going to preach the word first. I'm going to dismiss the kids. We'll get everything in the service, but we're just going to get some of it in at the end. There are times when there's a preciousness of presence that you don't want to dissipate with whatever. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. By the way, I realize there's an election in 2 days or three, whatever it is. And I realize some of you might want a political message, and I'm feeling restrained to do that, not because of a 501(c)(3) status, because of a Holy Spirit status.
Come on.
Jesus said to beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he said this to me. I felt like he said this. The scribes were religiously political, and the Pharisees were politically religious, and neither was good. And sometimes we want our leaders to tell us what to do, but that's not biblical. You go to God and you decide and listen for His voice on what you should do, how you should vote, if you should vote, whatever. You get with Him and you hear from Him and you vote. You do your conviction, what you hear the Father's voice saying to you. You know, it's amazing. We know that we know that we have a God who gave us from the very beginning free will, and then somehow we think He puts into place a government in a church that takes that away, and that's stupid.
Yes, it is.
Yep. It's just silly. And that doesn't mean we don't have strong personal convictions, but they are just that. They're just personal. It's amazing how little Jesus confronted the government of His day. He confronted the religiosity a lot. And so my exhortation to you, you want a word from your leader, one of your leaders? My exhortation to you is do what God tells you to do and give everyone else around you the liberty to do the same thing and honor them. I want to take us this morning to an ancient well. We heard this morning prophetically about an ancient door. You can use either analogy. We're going to open an ancient door. We're going to drink from an ancient well. Very ancient. A couple of weeks ago, Luke Anderson, our resident prophet in the house, had a word concerning the ancient wells. And that stirred something. Actually, it confirmed something that was already stirring in me. And so we're going to drink this morning from an ancient well. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So faith is substance, or realization is another word, and faith is evidence, or confidence is another word. But our faith is not in the substance, and it's not in the confidence or the evidence. I want to put a question to us this morning, and then I want to go to an ancient well to answer it. What is the object of our faith? So what is it that we are hoping for? What is it that is the unseen thing? As you know, we as a church for the last all of this year have been on a journey together to increase our faith, to grow in our faith, to enlarge our faith, not to get new faith, not to get more faith, but to use the faith that we have and to get a hold of something. But what does our faith get a hold of? See, there can be unbelief if our faith isn't anchored in the right thing and anchored solidly in the right thing. Oglethorpe can get up and share a testimony and it can stir your faith, but don't ever put your faith in the testimony of another person. Some of you have been very disappointed in your faith because you did just that and then Oglethorpe died. We must understand what the source of all faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. How did they obtain a good testimony? And we could go on and we could read of a list of all those in the hall of faith, if you want to say it that way. But they all got, their faith was all anchored in the same place. It was anchored in one place, and that place wasn't Jesus. What did he just say? I want you to hear me out before you throw me out. How did they obtain a good testimony? How did Abraham do it? The father of faith. He's the father of the Jew and the Gentile. He's the father of every man, woman, and child who has faith. What did he do that won the accolades of God? What did David do that won the accolades of God? What did Isaac do? What did Sarah do? What did Noah do? What did Enoch do? What did they do that won them the accolades of God? They had faith. And they had a faith, and again, hear me out before you throw me out. They had a faith that went beyond Jesus and it went beyond the cross. Now we're going to come back to Jesus and we're going to come back to the cross. Just recently on Facebook, there was a picture that went viral, I guess, they say, whoever they are. Had a bunch of views. And it was a picture, I think, if I remember right, of a married couple. I think. A wedding picture. And at first glance, it just went viral. And you look at it and it's like, what's the big deal? But then you enlarged it and you looked. And in the background was a funnel cloud or tornado. A really well-formed tornado in the back of their picture of this couple. And that's what went viral. And it looked like it was close to them because it was so big. In reality, it probably wasn't that close to them. But in the same way, I want us to understand that behind the life of Jesus, behind the work of the church, behind the laying on in the hands of the sick, behind all that stuff, behind the cross of Jesus Christ, there's something way bigger. It's an ancient well. It's an ancient well that all the fathers of faith drank from. And I want to take us back to that well. It doesn't discount any of this. In fact, it gives it greater authority. That's why we're going there. Because it is the basis for which we can come this morning and know that we know that our chains are broken. And it is the cross, yes, but it's way bigger than that. And it was before that. And the cross is because of that. Jesus drank from the well we're going to visit. Behind all that, 4,000 years behind, roughly, behind all that, was a God who sat on a throne and said some things. A God who spoke, and he made promises, and he was a God that could not lie. He was not a man that he could lie, nor the son of man that he could repent. And everything he said came to pass. And everything he said comes true. That God said an amazing statement in Psalm 138. David said it concerning him. He said he exalts his word above his name. He exalts his word. He exalts what he says above his name. And this God sat on that throne, and he decreed things and he declared things. And in the process of declaring things, he won himself a name. He won himself several names. He won himself the name Jehovah Shammah, the God who's always there. He won himself the name Jehovah Shalom, the God who is the source of peace. He won himself the name Jehovah Raha, the God who is my shepherd. He won himself the name Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He won himself the name Jehovah Nissi. The banner over my life or my victor. He won himself a name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. My God is my righteousness. He won himself a name, Jehovah Rapha. My God is my healer. He won himself a name, and he made all kinds of promises. We value the Bible. We value his word, and we should. But it's important that we understand this, that before the word was ever written, it was spoken by a God who cannot lie. He does not lie. And he set some things in motion. Do you realize that Isaiah 53, which describes the suffering of Christ so well, was written, but before it was written, it was spoken by God. And he set it in motion. And by his stripes you are healed, not because it is written. You are healed by his stripes because it was spoken. Yes, it's Logos, but before it was Logos, it was Rapha from the mouth of God. Amen. My God. And it's with that backdrop that we can move forward. It's with that backdrop we can move to the cross. It's with that backdrop that some of the things that were written in the New Testament make sense. Like John writing concerning Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. A few verses down, John writes and says, and the word of God, what word of God? The word of God that was spoken from here became flesh on earth. That word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld as the only begotten of the Father. Hebrews 1:1 says God. Starts out Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke to the fathers through the prophets, has now in this day spoken to us through his Son. It's important that we understand that the big deal about Jesus is that he is the Word of God. He is the promise of God made flesh and dwelling among us. It's so important that we understand that. That we understand the tremendous authority. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he spoken and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Likely every person in this room needs something of a miracle from God. If you don't, you will shortly. I mean, we're moving in between times of getting a miracle from God and needing one. And we need to know that the way to get a hold of anything from God, if without faith it is impossible, we'd only need to read a little further in Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, but we must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must know that he's a promise keeper. Amen. Way before promise keepers was ever invented, God already was one. He's a promise keeper. And my confidence is in the promise. If Oglethorpe gets healed, wonderful. And that'll boost my faith, that'll build my faith, it'll encourage my faith, but it is not the anchor of my faith. My faith goes back a lot further than that, to a lot more solid source than that. It goes back to the ancient well of the person of God speaking and saying, I will, knowing he does. The Word of God is so important. And I am talking about the Bible, but I'm not unless it's made alive. It's just a dead letter. It's just logos until it becomes rhema. Amen. But when it becomes rhema, I asked a question a few months ago, whenever it was, when's the last time you hugged your Bible? Not because you worship the stupid book, but because you worship the God who wrote it, and he makes something come so alive in you, it's like, oh God, thank you. Thank you. I tell you, that's something that you can hang on to. Not the written word, the spoken, the word that explodes on the inside of you. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. Who was his word? Jesus. Oops, excuse me. The word was spoken before it was written. But understand this, it was written so it could be spoken. Yeah. I'll say that again. The word of God was spoken before it was ever written, but it was written so that it could be spoken. What did Jesus do when the adversary came to test him in the wilderness? He spoke the word of God to him. and sent him on his way. I want to take us to Hebrews chapter 10. In my Bible, it's the same page where we just were. Might be a page, a verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, remember he who sits on the throne, the promiser, the promise keeper, he who promised is faithful. I want to encourage you to guard the confession of your mouth and make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. I want to encourage us all to make sure that the declaration that comes out of our mouth is the same, lines up with the declaration that came out of the mouth of God. That's confession. It's to say the same as. If I confess to stealing cookies from the kitchen, it means I say to Phyllis, yes, what you said I did, yeah. It's to say the same as. And our confession, we must guard, we must line up with the Word of God, not with what so-and-so said or did or preached or no, the Word of God. And not that what so-and-so preached isn't important, but the Word of God, the promise of God. Because the promise of God is like a seed. Jesus said it. It is a seed. And we must get it inside of us and we must let it grow and it must let it sprout. We've been pretty transparent with you as a congregation. Marcy's and I, to a lesser degree, are fighting the fight of faith for this cancer that's in her body. And this is what we've found. When our focus is on the promise of God, the symptoms are very, very nominal. But if we get our focus on what man says, the symptoms amazingly get a much louder voice. I mean, it's tangible. I've watched it. And the key to faith, the key to your miracle, and it may be spiritual, it may be physical, it may be financial, it may be social, it may be relational. I don't know what miracle you need, but I tell you the key to getting it is to line up with the Word of God. Amen. And believe, stand on His promise. Because He who promised is faithful. Amen. He is not a man that He would lie. Right. We've been on an adventure together to grow as a congregation and to become a house who is a house of faith. People who just expect God to be God and to see miracles. And we've been combating a corporate unbelief that has crept into the church at large from years of preaching where it was declared over and over again, God doesn't do miracles anymore. And that's just silly because He who promised, His promise is real still. And so we realize that there's some corporate unbelief that we're just continuing in our own selves, in us as a congregation. But I tell you, one of the ancient wells that we must come to over and over again is He who sits on the throne and has promised, and He said He would, and He will. And the thing that throws us is when there's delay. This is what the writer of Hebrews is writing here in chapter 10. So in verse 23, he says, hold fast to your confession of your hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And then he goes on to say, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Brothers and sisters, we need one another, and we need to be encouraging one another. But I tell you, we don't need to be encouraging one another in the latest fad or the latest this. We need to be encouraging one another in the ancient well of the promise of the Word of God. God who said He would, and to encourage, if God said it, He'll do it. And the thing that throws us, and we're going to read it in a minute, but the thing that throws us over and over again is when there's a delay. Can I just say this with you? When it comes to God, there's almost always a delay. It's just a fact. And I believe the reason that it is a fact is because He's looking for faith. And until faith is tested, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, you're going to test my faith, God? Yes, He is. He tested Abraham's faith. For years and years and years. What won Abraham the title and the badge that he's got, which he won't wear because he's too humble. But what would cause Abraham to win the badge? He believed God when all of circumstances were screaming at him, "You're not going to have a child. Take a look at your wife. Take a look at your own body, 100 years old. You're not going to have a child." But Abraham believed God in spite of everything that was facing him. He believed God in the delay, years of delay. He believed God. And then when he had a son, that same God tests the faith again and tells him to offer up that son on an altar and to take his life. And you know what the Bible says? I'll be honest. I've wondered, would Abraham really have gone through with it? We know he has his son who had to be an obedient son because he was a teenager at that time. He has his son tied on an altar, the knife raised, ready to take his life. Would he have followed through with it? The scripture tells us in one place he would have. Because he had enough faith. And you know why he would have followed through with it? Because he knew. The scripture says this. He knew. Listen to this. He knew that God had promised him a son whose seed would bless the whole earth. So he knew that if the son ended up dead at the end of the day, God would raise him up again. He was so sure of the promise of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let whatever your circumstances are, don't let your circumstances shout at you a voice louder than the one who sits on the throne and promises. Don't let if it's physical, don't let your symptoms get a louder voice than the voice of God that thunders from the ancient well. If it's financial, don't let your bank statement, whatever, don't let it have a louder voice than the declaration of God to be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. If it's relational, if it's whatever it is, don't let any other voice, including the voice of man, including the voice to your left or to your right, including the voice in your head, do not let any other voice other than the voice of the one who does not lie. And don't be taken back. Don't be shocked by delay. I tell you this, we've learned this. Delay is opportunity for some awesome, precious time with God. It's opportunity to grow in faith. Let's read a little further in chapter 10. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. When we come together, I want to encourage us to encourage one another in the Word of God. I want to say this carefully. I don't say much of anything carefully anymore. Not in the Bible for Bible's sake, but in the Word of God. The Word made flesh and dwelling among us. The Word made flesh in you and dwelling in you. The Word that explodes. If you have a need here this morning, I want to encourage you. Find what God has to say about the way in which He meets that need and then hang on to it. Amen. And let that, whatever it is, I know this. It'll probably be just a verse or two. It won't be a big, complicated thing. It'll be a seed. That's all it's going to be. It's just going to be a seed, but it's going to be a seed that will germinate within you, and it will grow and grow and grow until you are just so convinced of Him who sits on the throne. Yeah. Encourage one another in the seed. Help each other. Mine, find the seed. Give each other a verse. And then cultivate that seed. That's contending for your miracle. That's contending for your breakthrough. That's contending. There's only one thing that at least that I can find in the Word of God that where it says to fight, and it's to fight the fight of faith. Right. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. Amen. It's a precious fight. Amen. It does something in you. It does something in your relationship with the Lord when you've wrestled with Him for breakthrough. And when you've got it, when you've broken through and it's yours, it's like, guess what? It wasn't about you. You get to go give it away. You get to give it away, and you've got a faith, and you can go with a veracity and a tenacity and a confidence in your God. You can go with an encouragement. And if you see those who are languishing, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We're not talking about hope, we're talking about faith. Hope is a small part of it. But if all you got is a hope-so, that's not faith. You see, you can have a hope-so in somebody's testimony. You can have a hope-so in a process or a formula for getting your answer. But there is no hope-so in Him who promised. It's beyond hope, it's faith. It's not yes and no. It's not maybe. We'll visit that in a minute. It's not wishy. No, no. It's yes. He who promised is faithful.
Come on. It's good, Bob.
Verse 35. By the way, the writer of Hebrews, and we don't know for sure who it was because it isn't defined. Some people think they know, and that's fine. I won't make that judgment. But the writer of Hebrews is writing because the Jewish people are languishing in their faith. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Word of the Lord to us this morning. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Word of the Lord to you this morning. Do not cast away your confidence. I could go to any number of you. Do not cast away your confidence. Which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive what? The promise of God. Oh, we're in for some good times.
Hallelujah.
We are. Because we're going to, this is going to, I was going to say we're going to get this, but that's not the truth. It's going to get us.
Yeah.
It's going to get on the inside of us. If we'll just give ourselves to the Word of God, if we'll just give ourselves to the reality, just as often as we can, drink from the ancient well. And I mean collectively, but I also mean individually. If we'll become a people who know that we know that our God does what He says He'll do. And here's the key. It's great to know you have a God who will do what He says He'll do. But if you don't know what He said He'll do, then it does you no good. You've got to know what He said He'll do. What did He say He'll do about your circumstances? And I'm not talking about finding all kinds of verses and getting a long list of stuff and getting a litany of scriptures and a liturgy and just, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting one word. It comes in the presence of God and comes to you and explodes in your heart. And that which was logos on a piece of paper is now rhema in your own mouth. And you began to confess and declare that which God said He will do. You begin to declare it with a veracity and with a faith that isn't even you. It isn't even yours, because the Word is not yours. It isn't you. It's the Holy One that lives on the inside of you. And He's got something to say, but He's got to say it through you. Can I say this to you? Your mountain needs to hear your voice.
Yeah. Come on. That's good, bro.
It's got to hear your voice. I learned this in this cancer we're dealing with. I pray for my wife and I can do a lot, but I tell you what, that mountain needs to hear her voice.
Yes.
She needed to hear the voice of the Lord that says, don't have this surgery. Even though the doctors are saying, if you don't, blah, 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 blah. It's just that, blah, 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 blah. And I don't mean that negatively. I thank God for doctors. I thank God for nurses. But I tell you that there is a time when there is a higher word and there's a better doctor and there's a better nurse. And it is Jehovah. And He is my shepherd. Just another word for nurse. It came out, so I'm going to stick with it. The Word of God was spoken before it was ever written, but it was written so that it could be spoken. And you and I need to be speaking the Word of God. We need our speech, our declarations need to line up with what God says. That's confession. And it becomes declaration, and it becomes decree. Once it's in us, it becomes with so much authority behind it. Because we understand where it originates. Words matter. All of this that we're talking about this morning, all of this is the reason that Paul writes and says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to feed your faith? Get into the Word. And if in that you hear me saying, spend hours and hours poring over the Scripture, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying get into the Word until it gets into you. And again, I have much more confidence in a seed than I do a library. You understand what I'm saying? It's a word in season. And it's getting those words that really burst off on the inside. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Amen. Thank you. Are you two married?
Yes.
That's good, the way you're sitting. Can I? You've been distracting to me only in a good way ever since. The presence of God is all over the two of you, especially you, not comparing, but I just want to encourage the two of you in the, I sense like you're on a journey, and here's what I'm sensing. I'm sensing like you got on an elevator, and it's like, okay, which way do we go? And the word of the Lord to you is you go up. That means nothing to me, but it's so strong. You're in a time of transition, change, whatever, I don't know, but go up. He's calling you higher. He's taking you higher. And I say that with a bit of carefulness because I'm very aware there's already a tremendous depth in the two of you. Are you ministers, leaders? Or?
I do ministry.
Okay. There's a tremendous depth in the two of you, but and I don't know what it is, but this transition, this elevator that you just got on, it's going up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thank God. It makes no sense to me. It sounds silly to me. Oh, no. Dave said they just got married. Awesome. Praise God. Did you do the wedding?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe there was something I'm supposed to know.
You knew it.
Listen. Oh, so back to Jesus. Jesus is so important. It pleased God that in him all fullness should dwell. He is the fullness of God, the Godhead in bodily form. But he's important because he is the manifest Word of God made flesh. That's why his name is so powerful. That's why it can say, that's why the Apostle Paul can write and say, all the promises of God. Everyone say all. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And by the way, some scholars say 3,000 plus, some say 5,000 plus, some say 8,000 plus promises. It depends on what it is. If you're talking about a person who speaks and everything he speaks is truth, it's pretty much all promise.
Yeah.
I mean, if I tell my kids something and they say, well, do you promise? It's like, well, what do you mean by that? You mean not everything I say is truthful? They know it's not. I'm the biggest tease there is. Well, one of the biggest. Olivia, I tease Olivia and she says, Grandpa, for real? Most often not. What are we teaching our kids? No. But Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. All the promises of God. Are yes in him and amen in him. On to the glory of God the Father. Do you know what I did with my glasses? Thank you.
It's like a routine.
You don't have to put this up, team, if you don't want to. I just want you to hear. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Here's what we're combating this morning. We're combating this morning a wishy-washiness concerning the will of God.
Yes. Yes.
You might be here this morning and you might say, well, I'm not sure that God always, whatever. God always, whatever. You fill in the blank. If God said he does.
Yes.
Always.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He's writing to the Corinthians. And he says, therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things that I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me they should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. It wasn't wishy-washy. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes or no, and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ. Why is Jesus such a big deal? Because all the promises, I want to say this carefully. Jesus was not the originator of whatever breakthrough you need. He is the fulfillment of it. How can I say this? Go beyond the cross. Go to the ancient well of the promised Father who prophesied the coming of the Son, who prophesied the stripes on his back, who prophesied the nails in his hands, who proclaimed it into being. You think Jesus hadn't read those scriptures? You think Jesus didn't know who authored them? It wasn't Isaiah. But he's given a name that is above every other name, and he's given an authority over all dominion on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. Because, why? He is the Word of God. He is the promise. And I don't mean that he is the Son that was promised to come. No, 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 no. He is the promise himself. He is the Word. And so when we cast out demons in the name of Jesus, we're casting out demons in the promise of the Father. The promise became flesh and dwelt among us. So all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All of them. Isn't that awesome? Thank you.